Welcome back to the Sights On Podcast. This is Luciano and Alex for episode number 14. Today we'll be talking about the election. It's election season. Today that we're filming this podcast, it's about 4 days to the election day. It's a beautiful time of season, almost Christmas too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, and we're also so close. It doesn't even feel like, in a way, I know the election is coming up, but to think that it's only just a few days away, and when this gets posted, we're already gonna have a potentially new president, is just kind of crazy to think about. Like, it just doesn't feel like it's that time.
Yeah, it doesn't even feel like the world's being, it's normal right now, but in a couple of days we'll be electing the new president and then things are gonna change.
Yeah, now that definitely does scare me. From like the last couple of presidencies, we've had some revolting, but you know, that's just what happens now. I feel like times have changed. It's not the same anymore.
It's not the same anymore, especially because media, like, it just portrays it negatively for both presidents on the other side. And it's tough to change power nowadays.
Yeah.
But we'll be talking about the election, but not in a political sense. We want to talk about the history of election, like the voter ID, how that has been very, very manipulative in the past couple of years, and then we're going to talk about the Electoral College.
Yeah, and maybe give a little mail-in ballot with there. With recently being in the news too, mail-in ballot, so there's a little topic right there.
Yeah.
But before we get into it, Luch, tell me about your week.
It was very good, very good. I have been getting into surgery now. Like, it's a very new addition of my life because I have a great position under shadowing of a surgeon, and I get to see the organs inside the body. It is very lively inside. Like, yeah, I've always looked at the diagrams, and it looks nothing like the inside of the body. The inside of the body is the real deal, man. I mean, I love it. I'm going to be a doctor in the future, and I can't wait.
One question. Does it scare you at all when you look inside what they're doing? Does any of the blood or any of, like, the actual organs actually make you, like, want to puke, or are you all good when you're in there?
I'm actually good. I mean, it's something that I've never been afraid of. I mean, I've always got my blood, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, that's my blood. It's coming out. Oh, it doesn't hurt at all, but I like looking at it. I mean, that's the doctor's perspective. You have to be
good with that. Yeah.
If you're not, then it's not the right thing for you.
Not for me.
Yeah. Some people faint. And I think that's funny.
When I get blood, I faint.
I mean, it's your own body, right? But I get it, because it's scary to see your own blood. Like, you don't want to have your own blood coming out, because then you're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, donate blood, too. I mean, you could help.
You could help people.
Save a life. Hospitals get most of their blood from blood donations.
Yeah.
How about yours?
All right, so this week for me, it was a big test week. You know, that geology test came back. We got a 77. We'll take it. Brought the grade up. Wasn't what we wanted, but we got the job done. And I had a government test, and I did pass that one with an 87. So we'll take that. And we're just doing good overall in all the classes. We only have that one B in geology. I'm going to Avery's this weekend. I was hoping to go. If we weren't doing this podcast, I'd be right there with Avery's parents and Jimbo Kimbo. Those are some great people. I met them from Avery's parents. Amazing people. We should be hanging out in the garage right now, just chilling, probably watching sports.
Cool.
But yeah.
But you're spending time here.
I spend time here. I still love it here too. But man, it would be great over there too.
Yeah. How often do you go?
I go this anytime a podcast is not here. Like, if I got free time and I don't have work to do, like a week like today, if we weren't doing this, I'd probably be there. So probably, like, I try to go, I guess, at this point, like, to Avery's parents' house. Maybe, like, at this point, I can really only go, like, once a month, maybe twice if I'm lucky. But I try to go at least once a month.
Yeah. We'll have a break soon, so.
It's true.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
All right, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. The first thing we're going to be talking about today is voter ID. So, Alex, open up.
So, with voter ID, the main point of it is, right, it's supposed to protect the security of the vote, right? You go in, you go, hey, well, they go, can we see your ID? Just to make sure that you're basically a U.S. citizen voting for the United States election. So you hand them your, let's say, your driver's license, which is a valid form of government ID. You hand it to them, they go, oh, okay, here's your ID. They hand it back to you, and you go into the ballot, and you vote. It's pretty simple when you think about it, but it's become controversial for some reason because it's apparently too hard to get government ID.
And it's free and fair, safe elections. Like, you want that to happen. you have to have some form of identification. We need to know if you're the right person to cast a ballot. You can, and the problem is that one person can vote twice if you don't do that. And you have many names in the whole country. You could pose as a different person, as a different identity, and vote again if you didn't have that ID.
I'm pretty sure California doesn't have voter ID. So if me and you wanted to take a flight to Florida, go in and vote, I'm pretty sure California. They don't. Like, we could go over there and have our own vote. We just act like we were citizens. Yeah, which California. Is completely illegal. We would not do that. It's wrong also. Mm-hmm. Like,
I think you were telling me the past week that you've watched a video where there's a Canadian that crossed the border and voted in the...
I did find out, sadly... Not sadly. Sorry. It was fake. But I thought it was funny, though, because I was like, it was going to be a good example
right.
of what... Like, why we need the voter ID. And that's... I guess it's kind of why I say sadly, because I was going to say that's proof, but it didn't happen, so... There's no proof there. It was fake, I found. I did more research.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So, voter ID is important because, like, you need to find the right people to vote. And, I mean, it's not hard to get a government ID if you're a citizen in the United States. You just need to apply for it at the local DMV or get a government passport, which you should have from birth. But even if you don't have that, you can go to the actual... booth, and they have these this waiver or this like petition or something to sign saying to verify your identification before you vote. That I went to the ballots this past Saturday, and they had that thing. Like, they said, if you don't have these forms of identification, you can sign this waiver here, and we're gonna verify your identification before you go and vote.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say it's like trying to restrict any certain person to go out and vote. It's literally just a point of security to make sure that we only have U.S. citizens voting in U.S. elections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, if you don't have that, how can you firmly say that a president was elected fairly? How can you say that a president that is going to control the whole country, how can you say that he is the representative of the people? You can't say that if the elections are not free and fair, and to do that, voter ID is very important to have.
Yeah. Now, I was gonna say also, like, if you don't have an ID, I'm gonna assume you most likely aren't registered to vote, because you still have to register. So, and you know, registration ends at a certain point. So, if you don't have an ID, you're not registered. You're not gonna be able to get to vote anyway. So, you might as well get your ID, register to vote at the DMV, and then you can go vote. But exactly. Go on.
And the only reason I can think of that if you don't want voter ID is that if you want to cheat your way into an election, because both sides should agree that voter ID, taking people that are verified U.S. citizens, both people should agree that you should have fair and verified people in your elections.
And this is like a problem, because you could think that one group could take people from other countries, bring them in to just vote, and then they could send them right back to where they're from. Or they could be paying people from other countries to come in, do a quick vote in certain states, and then they'd be like, all right, now you got to go. But then, like, again, like, that's compromising a fair election. So that's the main reason. It's a security risk, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exactly what happens in countries that are ruled by a dictator that rigs an election. He brings in people to vote for him in this certain population, and then he gets so many votes, and he gets power.
I would say they don't even vote in dictatorships, though. It's, you know, like, they have so much power. If you're voting against the dictator, you're probably going to get killed.
But. True. But it's, I'm referring to, like, Venezuela. I'm referring to, like, rigged elections are dictator-like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not like Kim Jong-un. Like, that's a real
dictator. Or even Putin. I would say, like, Putin. I don't think anybody that votes for Putin, I don't think... you ever hear of them? Like, either vote for Putin or you.
No, I agree with that. But I'm talking about the free and fair elections, quote unquote, that they try to hold, but they rig against it. And that's what could happen here in the United States if we don't have voter ID.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on, like, mail-in ballots?
I don't like them at all, because you can't even verify if they're secure. Like, you could lose them in the mail. People could steal them in the mail, and then you could fake a post on the mail and say, hey, this is my vote. This is a vote cast by a person that's dead or somebody that's not even a real identity. I mean, if you go to a voter site, place to vote. You have your face. You have to go in person. You have your body there. You're only one person. You can't fake your own self. You can't clone yourself. And you have cameras around you, surrounding you. So that makes it very true, very real, not like something that you could fake.
Yeah, think about it now. I would love to see what like a mail-in ballot looks like so I could like see what's on there to see like how like easy it is to manipulate and like make more of them type of deal so you could like have multiple. I think it's very interesting. I also think, but I think it's dangerous because we saw, I think it was this week in Oregon. I think it was called Vancouver, Oregon. Don't quote me on that. I'm pretty sure. Not, I don't remember. It was somewhere in Oregon. I'm sorry. And somebody had burned all the mail-in ballots. And I was like, that's crazy because I'm assuming that somebody on the news told which mailbox that was. But to all those people who did vote, your vote just got burned. It just got completely destroyed because someone else decided. Like, if I wish, like, mail-in ballot was, like, a reasonable way, but it's just not a safe and secure way to vote. I think the only way to vote is to go in to a place to vote, you know, show their ID, and vote, like, at the ballot, not through the mail. I just don't think it's safe and secure enough where things could happen where people could burn them, could steal them, could, you know, just get rid of them, destroy them, and then your vote doesn't count. And that sucks because, like, I want everyone's vote to count. We already don't have enough people out there voting. Now we have people out there destroying votes.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree because you need, if those ballots in the mail, like, they're just pieces of paper. They're not anything that, you can't secure a piece of paper. It could get, like, what if there's a tornado happens and it's just lost in the wind? What if a fire happens, like that fire, and then they're burning up ballots? Like, you can't secure those things. If you go to a in-person site, that's guaranteed to be cast in a ballot. Now you can posit the argument, what about sick people? What about people that can't get out of their nursing homes?
Are those called absentee ballots?
Yeah. There's also, I went to the hospital recently. They brought the election place to the hospital.
That's cool.
So that people in the hospital can come and vote right there in person. And people from the community, they come into the hospital to vote in the lobby location.
That's super cool, actually. That's really, it's good on the government. I'm pretty sure that's the government's doing to help people who want to still vote. And they're able to because they're in the hospital, but bringing the votes to the hospital, it's very kind.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very good strategy. If you're going to get people to vote, put it at the places where it's more accessible to those that can't move. And then people that can move can go to those places and then vote there. Obviously, make sure it's an area that's away from the patients so that they don't get sick from the outsiders.
Yeah.
But make sure that they have it in like a separate lobby so that people can vote without contaminating the patients.
Yeah, and I actually voted just last week at my local community college, and it was there was no line. Maybe it was because it was about 8:39 in the morning, but there was nobody there. I went in, I showed my ID, I voted, I was in and out in maybe like 3 minutes. It was incredible. I was like, well, I'm done, and I'm voted, and I feel like very patriotic right now.
Me too. I voted last Saturday. I think it was October 27th, maybe. But I voted, and I felt really good.
And I would say It's good to do the early voting because once you get it done, now you don't got to worry about it. Now you're done. You don't got to go out on November 2nd and put in the ballot, just, you know. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's a duty of patriotism. Like, you're doing a duty for your country because you're participating in one of the major things that we are entitled to as citizens, and it's a vote. I mean, you have your president is the sole body of the country, right? You can't just say no, I'm not going to participate because this election is not important to me. Like, you have to know what your country does. I mean, it's a very, very, very serious matter because the president controls what the world does. I mean, US is the most powerful nation on earth. If you don't take part in that, then
Your vote out of everywhere in the world, it matters the most in the United States because you're, as the United States as of right now, controls like the world's economy, right, pretty much. And so everything revolves around the United States of America. That's why people think we're so self-centered in a way, because the world revolves around us in a way of, like, you know, with armed conflicts or wars, just to the economy itself, everything kind of revolves around the United States.
True. Yeah, I mean, you can't go without thinking of a thinking of a history without the United States in its most recent history, because the United States is very powerful in the way. So you have to make sure the leader is good enough to handle all of that power. And that's your voice, your vote.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the big one that we're going to talk about right now, the Electoral College. Why don't you start us off, Lucci, as you're probably the more well-educated on the Electoral College.
Yeah, so we'll just go through a quick breakdown. So the Electoral College is something the founders put into place because they thought that a decentralized democracy of voting inside the population is not, it wasn't efficient in that time because the people didn't know what was best for the population. So they decided that having electors instead of the people that are representing the people come together and they vote for the people in a smaller pool so that the president can be elected by electors instead of a direct democracy. So basically, bottom line is that you have electors, representatives from your population that are coming together to elect a president instead of a vast popular vote. And that's gone throughout history till today. And it's grown over time. We have now a 538-vote electoral college. And the division of that is made up of 435 House of Representatives seats, 100 senators, and 3 representatives from the District of Columbia, our capital. So this system is based on the population of each state, and it's proportional to the state. So California has the largest population. It has 55 electoral votes. The smallest population is probably Hawaii, and they have the least amount of votes.
Well, it'd be Wyoming.
Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah. I think Hawaii, it's still pretty, I think it's 4 or something like that. Don't quote me on that. It's something pretty low. Same with, like, Alaska. I think it's, like, 3. Most of the Midwest is around that 3. You know, South Dakota, North Dakota, it's pretty low.
Yeah, so that's how it works. And then some states, 48 of them, have a all-or-nothing policy. They do it where the majority of the people that vote in that state, that party gets all the electoral votes for that state.
Nebraska and Maine are the only two that do a congressional way.
Yeah,
where part of it can go towards one party and the other part can go. It's not a winner-take-all system. So,
yeah. The Electoral College is a nice way of putting states together in a way that's proportional to the population, and it does give a weight to little states over larger states, and I think that's why it's controversial today. Some people take it as a national popular vote. They want to make it to where the president is not elected on the Electoral College, but on just direct democracy, having, let's say, 73 million votes to 71 million votes, 73 million votes wins. And I just want to open the discussion, like, why, what are the benefits to the Electoral College and what are the cons?
The cons, right, is that it's not the majority. The majority of the people didn't get what they wanted, right? In a way, you could say. I would say the pros is that, like, you have to, like, let's say you didn't ever campaign in some big states, but not a lot of votes. Wyoming, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota. That's a big chunk of points right there if you add them all up. But if you never go there, you got to win those people over to get the points for that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's good that in a way that we have that system that, like, the campaign people, they got to go to these certain states, even if they're not worth a lot of points. They have to go to a couple of them at least because you got to win some of these points over. Because if you lose all those states, you're not going to win the election, you know, kind of day. And we've seen that in, like, the Democrats always got to win California. Republicans always have to win Texas because it's worth so much for the each party, right? You know, 54, and then Texas is at 40. New York is at, I think, 54 or something like that. Pretty high number. Pennsylvania is a pretty big swing state that a lot of them need to win. It's 19 points, I'm pretty sure. And it just makes you have to go to campaign to these certain swing states to win the election. It's kind of a, as you could say, like a real race. You got to race to get all these states to vote for you.
Mm-hmm. So I agree on you. Like, the pro is that you have to actively campaign and those smaller states and to get the needed small electoral votes to win, because if you didn't have this election, this electoral college, then you would have the major candidates going into the largest cities trying to get their votes. Because, I mean, if you could get your most bang for your buck, you go to New York, you go to the New York City, you go to Houston here in Texas, you go to, let's say, San Francisco in California, you go to all the populated cities across the world, but then you're missing out on almost 20 to 40% of the population, because there are going to be rural farmers, suburban people, and then you have your other smaller general populations that you're going to miss out, and that's a big percentage. Like, you can't just cater yourself to the cities, which are going to be more liberal. I mean, that's a statistic. Like, cities are going to be more liberal, and you're going to cater to that ideal, then you're not considering the whole population, which rural areas are going to be more conservative, Republican. You're going to miss out on a lot of the population if you're going to not cater, like, not campaign in all these other areas.
And you're exactly right, because, like, why would someone go to Wyoming, a place with only 500,000 people, when you could just go to Houston, Texas, with 6 million, I think, or so people, and you'd get, like, how many, like, almost triple the vote or more? Like, you would get an insane amount more from going from each city than even going somewhere like Montana, which only has, like, maybe 1 million people in it. So you would only go to those big cities, and you would win just by getting whoever would win all the big cities, pretty much. Which again is mostly all liberal, so it'd be super hard for both sides. Because if you can win over all the cities, then the small rural areas with only 500,000 people, that 500,000 means like nothing. But when it's worth 3 points, or even 3 points isn't worth a lot, but like
It
when you
does
get
change the
it
elections.
just.
Like, the Al Gore versus George Bush, it was between 5 electoral votes.
Yeah.
So,
They were fighting for Florida, pretty sure, and
yeah.
then they had to, I think it was a recount and all. It's a closed election, but
Yeah, so electoral votes do count. Like, if you take my Wyoming and then Hawaii together.
and I would say, like, for the past like 200 years, it's been working. Like, there have been fair elections for like the past 200 years since the start of America. It's only till now that I think for some reason we want to change the way we do elections. But I'd say, like, most countries can't do even fair elections, so the way the electoral system has been working, I would say it works all right now. I'm not gonna say it's perfect, but I would say it works.
Yeah, I mean, you look at history, like, you see how other countries run their elections. I'm sure, like, most countries do it on popular vote, and yeah, you can't say that the electoral college system doesn't do worse than those. I mean, electoral college system has worked for about 250 years, and you can't say that it's done bad. I mean, you've had the peaceful transfer of power between all these presidents, and I don't think we've had a unpeaceful transfer of power.
People would say, like, Trump's the last one where he wouldn't want to step down, and that's where they kind people. I think that's where people now are like, well, we don't want the popular vote because of what happened with Trump.
True, true.
Not popular. They don't want the electoral vote because of Trump, because Trump has, well, he won once without, you know, Hillary Clinton had the popular vote. He didn't, but he still had, he won all the swing states, so we got the vote. But then when he didn't step down after losing to Joe Biden, people, I think that kind of scared people away, and they don't, I see it as people don't want Trump to win, so they kind of take, they would rather like have a popular vote. And then I think like the liberals will, or the Democrats will always have the popular vote, because I think what they push is what you could consider like modern day, like what certain things that people want. And it's what's again with all the big cities, I think they can win most elections. But what keeps Republicans in the race for these elections is the like electoral college, and it makes it more fair. But it's not impossible for Democrats obviously to win, because they won just this year already, or with Joe Biden, and they won with Obama. They won two presidencies. So I would say I like it kind of evens it out personally, like in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger cities are always going to be more liberal. And I just want to point out that if you're born in a certain area, you're more likely to be liberal, you're more likely to be a Republican.
Oh, of
And
course.
yeah.
Like, I mean, if you're born in the deep South, you're more likely to be a Republican. But if you're born in Los Angeles, there's probably a higher chance
And it's
that.
just the culture. Like, you're surrounded by people that are like-minded, and then you become like them. I mean, it's it's hard. It's not wrong. I mean, you're born there. You're gonna have the ideas that are from the area, but you're just gonna have to keep an account to what is the ideas and values from that area. So when you connected to the Electoral College, it's important to say keep that into account. People are born in certain areas randomly. So the Electoral College counts for that, because you can say that this portion of the area was a certain idea, and that's going to be enclosed to this certain area so that it will only apply to this area. So Texas, we have this certain area. Texans believe this. This is how they vote. Texas believes that way. Now you have California. California believes that way. They are some more liberal, so they're going to believe that way. They're going to vote this way, and now they contribute that idea here. If you mix it all together, then how are you perfectly representing Texas versus California? If you say popular vote, that's not integrating the 50 United States perfectly, because you're not saying that, you're not taking into account the regional ideas and perspectives. Now you can say that in urban areas you're going to have more people, more babies, more people, denser, and that's going to increase the values in that idea. And I think that's a count to popular vote, because popular vote, you need more bodies to vote in an election, and that's why they want it, because they have more people in those dense centers.
Yeah. I mean, overall, again, I think it's very recently that we've seen more of a dislike for the Electoral College, and maybe I'm wrong, you can quote me on that, but I think with Trump being in and then him winning, again, because he beat Hillary Clinton, not by the popular vote, but by the electoral, I think that kind of pushed people the other way to not like the Electoral College, and that's just my own opinion. And I would say then him not stepping down after him losing the election in 2020, people still want to get rid of it. I see a lot from the left of people seeing Trump as like more fascist, and I don't agree with that, but I see that view from the left. So I think seeing that Trump can win through the electoral votes, I think that's why they don't want it personally. That's just my opinion. From what I've seen online of like from debates like Jubilee and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But
I can definitely see the concern. I mean, you want, it's a balance. I don't know for sure why the popular vote should be the best way, because I just have to discuss it with some of them, because they say that the Electoral College is not fair because it
doesn't pick what the most people want. But when you see it, like recent elections, like they're pretty close, right? Because how our system works is you need like 51% of the vote. But the recent elections nobody has reached 51% of the vote to win. So like Hillary, I think let's just say, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head for Hillary versus Trump, but like let's say Hillary had 48 million and Trump had 48 million. So let's say Trump had 47 million. We're gonna really despair that by a million votes. Like that's pretty close when you think about that. Mm-hmm. Like we're really gonna say like, oh well, this side won because they had just a million more votes, when we could have an electoral system where this whole state is gonna, I know it's considered majority rule, you know, picks this. So your vote really matters for which state. Like that's why it's so important to vote, because if you want your candidate to win, then you need to go out and vote in your state. So because that's a majority, whoever has the majority left or right wins that election, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it's more balanced. I mean, I'll go back to the point, like you're going into your centers, you have your state, Texas. I mean, I don't want my values to be mixed with a person from California, because we have different things, different beliefs, and I think that's the reason why the Electoral College is good, because it gives centers into where we can have similar beliefs in Texas versus another state.
Yeah.
And then I want to also dive deep into what would happen if we didn't have the Electoral College.
Well, what system would we have? I guess majority vote.
We would have, if we had majority vote, what would happen?
Well, like we've just kind of been saying, I think big cities would essentially take over, and politicians would probably never go to New Mexico or, you know, Hawaii, Alaska. I don't think they go to Hawaii or Alaska, but they would never go to, like, the Midwest. Like, you would never see them probably anywhere in the Midwest. They would only be on the West Coast and the East Coast and maybe here in Texas. Because that's where all the cities are. Like, there are cities in the Midwest, but their populations aren't as big as, like, the West and East Coasts and South.
Yeah. I mean, and I also would say that it would be easier to make a fraudulent election. Because you can just vote anywhere in the country now. And your vote now in Nebraska, if you can put 500 votes there, it's going to affect the total population vote. If you can put 500 votes in anywhere else in the country, that will affect the total population, then you get more people there. And opposed to, like, your state elections, they're just going to affect that one state, and it's much more hard to rig 50 state elections together to get those electoral votes than rather a popular vote, because popular vote, every vote matters in that popular vote, and then you can just rig an election from doing 500 votes in every county versus in a whole state versus, and now you have to do it in every 50 states to rig an election. I think that's another protection from the Electoral College. And then you have a, what else? What do you think?
That's about it, really. I mean, I don't have a ton. I think I've said my piece. Yeah, I mean, do you have anything? I'm kind of stumped. I think I've gotten a lot. I got my voter ID speech out, got my mail-in ballot speech, and I've kind of given my whole spiel about the electoral. Do you got anything?
I just think, like, we have to integrate these three things. I mean, we talked about mail-in ballots and voter ID. Those are very important to secure our elections, make them safe, make them free and fair.
I don't think it has to be complicated. It's literally just an ID. I'm not asking to see your social security, your passport, and your ID. I just want to see some sort of verification. All it asked me, Max, was, do you still live at this address? And I said, yes. And I voted. It's not difficult.
Yeah. It's not race-based at all. It's, you just show your ID. Like, so there's some people out there that say, oh, if you get your ID, you're targeting a certain race because they are not able to get an ID. You can't say that, because you need to have an ID to vote, first of all, and it's so easy to get an ID here in the U.S. You also just need to show that you're a citizen.
Also, why should I, like, you should need an ID to vote, but you're saying, like, we need an ID to buy alcohol. You need an ID to get on a plane, which is a passport. You need an ID to sign up for a library card. You need an ID to rent a car. You need an ID for, like, even to, like, let's say you're under 16. If you want to buy, like, an M-rated game, GameStop's probably not going to sell it to you. So you need an ID for a lot of things. Like, you're telling me we need an ID for all those things, especially, like, let's say buying alcohol or even a gun. You need an ID to show that you, like, you're telling me I need an ID for all those things, but I don't need an ID to go vote.
The most important duty as a citizen, you're telling us that you don't need to vote. You don't need to have that ID to vote. It's shocking. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
Justify that position.
I don't understand what's so wrong with it. Like, it's just an ID, and it's a simple security thing. Like, if you don't have an ID, then you can't vote. Like, it's part of your, like, I guess you could say registration. You went to register for your ID at the DMV, so then you go and register. And I'm pretty sure this is a Texas thing where you can register to vote at the DMV while getting your, like, so if you do it all right there, you might as well register. And you go out and vote, and you show them your ID, and you vote. It's not hard. It's really not hard.
It's not hard at all. I mean, I'd even say it's common sense. Like, you want...
It's a basic form of security.
Basic form of security.
And it works. Like, yeah. I mean, my gosh. Like,
you go into your phone, you have your face as an ID, right? That's a form of identification. Why not have that in your election, which is the most important thing in this country? Because presidents control the future of the country. It really does. Like, if you take Donald Trump's presidency, it changed the future of America so much. Joe Biden's, it changed
the future of America. Each president changes the future. For the next 4 years, it changes. That's why it's so important.
Yeah. And if you say, I don't care about this election, you'll have to live up with the consequences of the next president.
I always tell this, like, I've learned this from my mom. If you're not going to vote, you can't talk about the state of the nation because you didn't do anything to change it.
Mm-hmm. And I hear a lot of people that say that they don't want to vote because they think that their vote doesn't count.
It's called political efficacy.
It does. Every vote counts because you matter. Your vote, if you take one person and get five people around you, that's five more votes in the election. I mean, 4 + 1 = 5. You get more people coming in to your party that you want, and then you make change that way. You get 10 more people around you. That's 10 more people in the election.
Not even like these big general elections. If people actually voted in their state and local elections, you could see a lot of change in the nation because a lot of things can change because they need your votes. So if you voted in those small elections, you could maybe you have a street light that hasn't been changed, but if they change that streetlight for you, you will vote for them, and you're going to see change in other things. Maybe you have a huge problem with, like, potholes in your area. Well, maybe you'll vote for them if they actually fix your speed bumps, you know? Yeah.
If you have a problem, vote for it.
I didn't mean to say speed bumps. I'm going to say potholes.
Go vote for people that work against it. Go vote for people that will fix that issue. Do your research. I mean, you're in the country that has the freest and fairest elections so far. You have the power to change the nation. I mean, you have it at your fingertips. I mean, this is, I believe, the freest and fairest country that has been ever existed, because any citizen can go freely and live their life to the fullest extent. There's no limit to your ceiling in this country. And voting is the way that you can change this country and to make your ceiling even higher. And I think it's a valuable lesson to learn from any country that you see in the whole world. I mean, you won't find the elections, you won't find any election that's like it here, because you, first of all, can make the decisions of who represents you, and then second of all, you have the power to change and make the laws that you need to further your own values. And I do see some things that are, it's not a perfect system, of course, because you can't account for, like, the power losses, the power gains from those politicians that do worse, and you can't control what those representatives do for you, but you can control the outcome of the future, and your vote matters in that way.
Yeah.
So wrapping this up, do you have anything to say before we end up?
Go vote right now. Like, I'm telling you, you're going to be like, we have a big political efficacy problem where people think that their vote really won't do anything or to change anything, but your vote will automatically, no matter what, when you vote, and whoever wins will change the outcome of the next 4 years and history. So mm-hmm. Please, if you just go out and vote, and you pick, and if your person wins or doesn't win, it doesn't matter. The history changes, and then you'll be like, "Well, if it changes no matter what, then why should I vote?" Because the person that you want can change it for your benefit, possibly.
Yeah.
And or for your policies, or for whatever you believe in. That's why we vote a certain way. I mean, obviously, because you believe that certain policies will be passed under the person you're picking.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even matter if it's in, like, you referred to local elections. It doesn't even matter if it's a big election. Local elections, your local church, you vote to get your ideas in there. Just the practice of voting in every situation. Like, you have to participate. I mean, active participation is proactive, and you can change the future, like you said.
Yeah, I don't know where that stigma has come from, where, like, there's no point in voting, or there's no, like, reason to vote. Like, there is a reason, obviously, to change. Mm-hmm. Voting causes change. So if you want change, you vote. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. So wrapping this up, we have just finished episode 14. Congratulations.
Crazy.
It's crazy, man. I mean, this is a very good journey, and I love it doing with Alex here. This is one of the things that we never knew about 7 months ago.
Yeah. I mean,
we just thought about this idea on a tennis court and just said, hey, let's start this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I always want to start one, and here we are. We're on episode 14, and we're not stopping anytime soon, so.
Yeah, and we're going to post this video soon on YouTube, and we have so many other platforms that you can join us on. We have Apple Podcasts, Spotify, RSS, Anything else?
Just make sure you can also check us on our social medias like Instagram. Our TikTok's doing really well right now. If you want to comment and leave a like, maybe share it with some people that you know. TikTok's doing great. We're also on Twitter, Facebook. Find us anywhere you want. Leave a comment, share it with somebody. Maybe spread the word of Sights On Podcast for us.
Yeah. In about a week's time, we'll have the episode 15 out for y'all. This is going to be on the military. We're going to be celebrating Veterans Day. It's one of the very major holidays in the U.S. because we want to celebrate the people who serve us.
Yeah. All right.
Well, this is the Sights On Podcast with Luciano and Alex. Thank you for listening to us. And this is Sights On, signing off.